I appreciate the kind things that's been said. Paul said they glorified God within us. And as the little song said, we give the glory to Jesus. Whatever good there is, it has to be Him. And we certainly appreciate the good things that's said about Jesus. I want to read a little bit from chapter 6 in the book of Mark. Now, I'm no different from anybody else. Just another feller, you know, just telling the story of Jesus. And maybe I'm a little peculiar in the way that I do, but the Bible teaches that God will have peculiar people, zealous of good works. So really all of God's people are peculiar. They believe in good works, you know. And I'm no different. I'm just another fella. Less than nothing, Paul said. I've been blessed. God's been good to us. He's continuing to be good to us. And He's blessing us as our minister reaches around the world. I was thinking of Brother Leon here tonight. He'll probably be getting this big tent. Brother Tripp was asking me where he planned to set it first. I don't really know yet. But he'll probably be getting this big white tent in a little while. And he's just liable to come set it over here. I don't know. They set it in Pearl, Mississippi. Brother Leon is a wonderful minister. All right. First, I'd like to say once again that I'm thankful for you. It's been such a long time. I'm grateful to be able to see some faces I haven't seen in a long time. And I appreciate so much you being here with us. I appreciate Brother Cooksey being here, the people that come with him, and also people that we have that come in from the campground. We appreciate them coming so far to be with us. Numbers of them comes from time to time to our meetings, and we appreciate them coming to be with us. It's just such a wonderful thing to have them to come and be with us. And I hope that some of them can be with us in the Charlotte meeting. I'm sure that some of them will be with us. I'm trusting that they will. We're looking for a great meeting over in Charlotte. And I believe that God is going to bless us in an unusual way. Now, I'm not planning to be here as far as I know except one more night, and that's tomorrow night. But the tent will probably be here for a good little bit, Brother John and Brother Leon here. We usually get about 3 nights, and then we are somewhere else. Used to, we stay 3 weeks, but now about 3 nights, and then we're somewhere else. But we're thankful for the nights that we do have opportunity to be here. Now, if you've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Mark, St. Mark, chapter 6. I wonder if I could get a little swallow of water. I do a little bit different, I guess, from some ministers. I never plan anything to read from. Years ago, I used to plan what I was going to read from, and I'd pick out what I wanted to read from, and then after I'd read, I'd preach something altogether different. So one day, I just decided if God was doing it, He'd just let Him do it all. So for many years, or numbers of years, I haven't gotten up, you know, with anything in mind. I don't even know where I'm going to turn my Bible to. I have nothing marked as a rule. I have nothing planned. I open the Bible, and what He gives me, that's what I read from, and that's what I preach from. That's a little unusual, but that's the way that God deals with me, and it's been that way for numbers of years. And this is what He gave me tonight, Mark 6. I believe it'll tie in with something tonight that might be of interest to you. But Mark 6. Beginning at the first verse. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching, and he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by 2 and 2, and gave them power over unclean spirits. and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. When the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charge of the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sake which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner, and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charge, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse, and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done, and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Alright. Now, that's reading quite a bit of scripture. The people here asked the question, where did the wisdom come from? And Jesus answered as he attempted to tell them that a prophet was not without honor save in his own country and among his own household. I think of Brother Leon here. Being here in this place, this is his own hometown. This is his own country. And of course, as I was telling Brother Tripp tonight, I realized that Leon is without honor here in this place. But reading that scripture reminded me of that. Though he's without honor, yet he's such a great man of God as he travels around from place to place. Hallelujah. All right, I want to talk with you just a few minutes tonight concerning some things. I believe that this is the greatest day that we've ever had. Now, I know that the days of John the Baptist was a great day. And I know that the days of Elijah was a great day. I know that the days of Paul the Apostle was a great day. I know that the days of Peter, that was a great day. And there were so many multiplied things that took place during that time. But now we're living in a different hour now, and we're living in a much greater day than any day that we've ever had. The things that we are having today are far greater than the things that was in the yesterday. Now, a lot of people would call that into question, you know, and they couldn't believe that. But it is a true fact that according to the Bible, Solomon the great wise man said the end of a matter is better than the beginning. Isn't that right? How do you believe that we're down at the end of the trail now? We are at the end of the matter, and so then that means that it must be better than it was in years gone by. You believe that? I believe that this is the greatest time that there has ever been in the history of all mankind. I know it's one of the most treacherous times, one of the most fearful times, and I know that in the hour that we're living in, things is more complicated and more complex than ever before in the history of the world. But that still doesn't change the fact that this is the greatest hour for all mankind that we have ever had. I realize that the generation that's coming up in the hour that we're living in, that it's one of the most wretched generations that's ever lived on the face of the earth. Why in the churches they keep telling the young folks, they keep saying, you're the church of tomorrow. But how many of you know there's not going to be a church of tomorrow? Folks, we've come to the end of the trail. They keep telling them that there's going to be a church tomorrow and that they are the church of tomorrow. But I tell you something. I've said this to young people wherever I've gone. Young people, the way that you're doing, and I say this for the benefit of those that's under the tent and for the tapes wherever they're played and wherever people hear them on the radio or around the nation. Now, I say this, that young people today are not headed for heaven. They're headed for hell. Amen. They are not going to be a church of tomorrow. The Bible calls them a wicked, a sinful, and an adulterous generation that God is going to rain fire and brimstone upon. Hear me? Here, that's the truth of the matter. Now, in the church, they might tell you a lot of things, and of course, they're trying to build up their Sunday school, and they're trying to get a great number of people, and they're trying to do this, and they'll let you do anyway, and live anyway, and be anyway, and still won't tell you the truth. But Brother Pike loves you tonight, and I want to tell you the truth. There's only one way that you can have part in what we're doing, and that is to repent of your sins and get right with God. Young folks, God is not going to make any more allowance for you than he does for anybody else. Now, you may have it in your mind that everything is going to go real well and that God is going to make a special allowance for you because you are a young generation. But God isn't going to do it. There's hundreds of thousands of young people that are killed and destroyed around the world by means of dope, by insanity, by wrecks, and by all of these other things. You know, when we think of God, we think of God as being a good God and a loving God. And I agree that God is. As a matter of fact, there's none good but God. And I believe that God is a good God, and I believe God is a loving God. But I also believe that God is a God of judgment, and God intends for us to live holy. And if we don't live holy, then we're headed for trouble. I believe that with all of my heart. Now then, you say, but Brother Pike, God loves everybody, and God isn't going to hurt us. But let me tell you something tonight. The Bible teaches that if you forget God, God will tear you into pieces. Amen. How do you know that? The Bible said, beware you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. Amen. A lot of people say, well, the devil will tear you into pieces. You better watch out. But that wasn't what the Bible tells us. The Bible said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. The Bible said, God wounds and God binds up. God pours in the oil and the wine. The Bible said, God creates the good. God creates the evil. God has his way in both. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. God holds the king's heart in his hand. God turns it whithersoever he will, like the rivers of waters. Is that right? The Bible said, can evil come to a city? And I have not seen it, saith the Lord. How do you know that God's got control over the devil? How do you know that? Hallelujah. God's got control over him. And did you know that when the devil's turned loose on you, that's God chastening you? A lot of people will say, wait now, Brother Pine, you don't expect me to believe that. But it's true. The Bible said in one place that I will chasten you, saith the Lord, by the cruel one. Is that right? Who is the cruel one? Satan. See, in other words, you give place
place to wrath. You give place to evil. You give place to the wrong. And then Satan comes in on you when God tells you not to give place to Satan. And then when you give place to him by careless living, by being unconcerned, by not doing what God tells you to do in the Word, then Satan comes in on you and Satan begins to destroy. He begins to cause sickness. He begins to cause heartaches. He begins to bring poverty. He begins to bring all of the evils that you don't want to have any part with. All because you gave place to him. But we don't have to give place to him. We don't have to give place to the devil. How do you know that? We don't have to do it. But a lot of times we're careless and unconcerned. The preacher preaches to us, but we don't pay any attention to it. You know, the Bible tells us in one place, it says, give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. Is that right? In other words, when the preacher's preaching something, or he's telling you about the Word of God, it says to give the more earnest heed to it. In other words, whatever he says, listen to it. When the preacher tells you something, listen real close to it. Is that right? God tells us to listen real close to what the preacher says. Not only should we give the more earnest heed to what we've heard, but the Bible tells us that if we listen to that word, that we should take heed how that we hear that word. We should listen in such a way that we know how we hear the word. Is that right? We should know how that we hear God's word. Not only to give the more earnest heed, to take heed to it, that we let it not slip from us, but also take heed how that we hear it. Because the devil is the prince of the powers of the air, and Satan is working in the air, and demons is in the air, and though you can't see those demon powers, yet they are working in the air. Satan is the prince or the ruler over these great powers that's in the air that works in the minds of the children of disobedience. And the Bible tells us that these children of disobedience, that they are taken into captivity at the will of the devil whenever he gets ready.
Amen.
How do you believe that?
Man,
now you say, Brother Pike, what does that mean to us? That means that we become the prey of the devil. Amen. Like Billy Graham said one time, if any man or woman denies that there is an evil force or power, that he automatically makes himself a prey for the devil. When you feel in your mind that you are intellectual and you are wise and you are clever, and you are not foolish enough, as you would say, to believe that there is an evil power, then you make yourself really foolish in the sight of God. Because there is a satanic force, there is a godly force, and tonight you are subject to both of them. Not too long ago, we brought a message, and the message was concerning the three minds that man is exposed to. There's three powers. There's three minds that man is exposed to. As I stand here tonight and preach to you, it's not me that's speaking, but it's the Heavenly Father that's speaking from within me. The Bible said when the minister preaches that it's not him that's speaking, but it is God speaking from within his temple. Is that right? Now, that means that we are subject to God's power. It's my voice. It's my old rusty vocal organs, as we would say. It's my repulsive person or personality, but it's God's spirit or God's mind or God's intelligence that's conveying itself to the listening ears to bring you faith unto salvation by the words or the brain work of Brother Pike. You understand what I'm saying? That is to say, the preacher. Now, that means that if God can do that, there is another spirit that can do that. What other spirit can do that? Your spirit can do that. See, your spirit uses your brain too. Your spirit uses the same brain that God uses. But not only do you use it and God use it, but there is another power that can use it, and that power is the power of Satan. Satan can speak through a human being. I've heard him speak through human lips. Satan can use your brain. A lot of times you see people going up and down the road. They're taken into captivity at the will of Satan. They've got those people in bondage, or Satan has with those demon powers. They've got them in bondage, and those people do exactly what that spirit tells them to do. If that spirit tells them to murder, they murder. If that spirit tells them to lie, they lie. If that spirit tells them to go get a drink, they go get a drink. You understand what I'm saying? So then, folks, we have got to shape our lives, our spirits, and our minds in a way, Brother Cooksey, to where God can make us a vessel unto honor. Is that right? We've got to be a vessel unto honor. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. What is it? Say we are subject to these powers. I want to be subject to God. I don't want to defile the temple of God. God, who is a spirit, the spirit of life, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of righteousness. God has so made my body that it might be his temple, that my spirit might conform to God's spirit, that we might be one in the abundance of Christian living. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I come that you have life and that you have it more abundant, and the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. David said, my cup runs over. Hallelujah. We ought not to be sick tonight. We ought not be pushed aside tonight in poverty. We ought not be somebody pressed off in a corner that can't make ends meet. But we're supposed to be children of God. We're supposed to have faith in God and be able to master the situation and stand up as Job did in the midst of trouble and say, I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Amen. Praise God.
All right. Now, if there's three powers, and those powers can use our mind, then what ought we to do? We should be wise. If I know that Satan is the prince or the ruler over the powers that are out here in the air, and I realize that he could come into my body and just take over my brain and say things through me and cause me to do things that be unlike God, if I realize that he can take this temple that was made for life to dwell in, and that he can move into this body and inhabit this body and cause me to do contrary to God and cause this temple to be defiled to where life can never live in it and cause God to destroy it, if I know this and realize this, then folks, what ought I to do? You see what I'm saying? There is something that we've got to do. We can't drift into the kingdom. Come on, folks. I said you can't drift into the kingdom of God. There's no way. Folks just take it for granted, you know, because their mother was a Christian or their daddy was a Christian or maybe their parents was preachers or something, that they can just drift into the kingdom of God. But you can't do that. The Bible said men pressed their way into the kingdom of God. Since John, the law has gone out and grace has come in and God has preached the kingdom through the lips of the ministry. Amen. And every man presseth him way himself into the kingdom of God. Amen. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I'm waiting for the kingdom of God. But that's wrong. That's wrong, folks. You're not supposed to wait for the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God's already here. The law and the prophets till John, since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. See, the kingdom of God is a revelation. The kingdom of God is a spirit. The kingdom of God is something you've got to comprehend, Paul said. Something you've got to understand. How is it that scientists is getting into that world out there? How are they doing that? Because they have a brilliance that's far beyond that of the human being. Isn't that right? They've studied and spent their lives in the study of that which we cannot see. Hundreds and thousands of planets, they say, is beyond our eyesight out there. That's right, though they can pick up a few of them with these giant telescopes, yet beyond that, hallelujah, I tell you what, tonight I see some things, I see heavenly things, I see beyond the veil tonight, I see some things that's thrilling tonight, that makes me want to go where God is. Hallelujah, I feel good, don't you? I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen, this thing is real to me. I look out there beyond the veil and I see these things and they're just as real to me. Hallelujah. They're just as real to me as these things are that you're seeing with your natural eye tonight. Oh, Brother Paul caught up to the third heaven. Said, I saw things that wasn't permitted for me to even speak. Amen. That's right. He couldn't even preach it. Things were so wonderful, so outstanding, and so glorious. Brother Carnes, he couldn't even preach it. God wouldn't let him preach it. The people in his day, their intelligence was in such a way that if he'd have preached it, he would have destroyed the people. God wouldn't let him do it. But seeing the day that we're living in, there is natural things that are made known that are relative to spiritual things in the sense of being symbolic of those things which we cannot see in God. See, God, before he will bring an age, before he will let, you know, us come into those spiritual things, there has to be an actual age that will bring about the natural things. Now watch just for a few minutes and see if that's right. For instance, you've got television, haven't you? Why is television in this age? See, why didn't they get television years ago? They didn't have television years ago. It wasn't common in demand. They had some ideas about it, but it wasn't common in demand. Why? Because, see, every spiritual thing in its age and in its season must be revealed to the human mind by some natural type or shadow. Every spiritual thing must be made known to the human intelligence by some natural intellectual means. And so then, this is the day of visions. This is the day when the Bible said young men would see visions. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the day when we're supposed to see visions in God. This is the time, brothers and sisters. This is the hour. So then God, knowing that this is the hour, there had to be a natural television somewhere. There had to be a natural vision somewhere so that we could see these spiritual visions. Is that right? So then tonight we see the type and we see the shadow. We see God doing things in a great allegoric way. But did you know this is the truth? I don't like to think about this, and I'm sure you don't either. But the people of our day, now I'm not talking about sinner folks. I'm talking about church people now. The church people of our day, I'm talking about the most advanced church people of our day. That's right. Even the Jesus name people, even the holiness people, which are supposed to be the most advanced people according to their testimonies and according to the Bible, in the day that we're living in, even those people, many of them, still do not have the spirit of revelation. I preach all the time to our people on this one thing. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. That's what Paul said. Paul said the revelation was made known unto me. John, in the book of Revelation, when the Bible speaks there, it speaks after this manner. It said, and the revelation of Jesus Christ was made known unto John, that John might make it known unto us. Is that right? What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It's the coming of the Lord. God is a spirit. What is the revelation? It's the coming of Christ. But folks, let me tell you, it's like the days of the Jews. In the days of the Jews kept saying to Jesus, said, we know that you're the Messiah, but now tell us something. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Is that right? See, they kept saying, tell us about this thing. Are you going to set up a kingdom here? And Jesus, he just bypassed them and confounded them by turning around and he said, my kingdom is not of this world.
Amen.
Hear me, folks. Praise. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. Hallelujah. My kingdom is not of this world, he said, or my servants would fight. I'd wage war like the rest of them. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Why does people hate you? Because you testify of Jesus. Why does people hate you? Because you talk about God. Because the Bible said the world loveth its own. But the world hateth you because you're not of the world. Hallelujah. But he said, I've chosen you out of the world, Brother Danny. God's taken us out of the world. We are not of this world, nor in this world, but God's chosen us out of this world.
Hey, God. Hallelujah.
He has hid us with God, with Christ, in the Spirit, in God, until the time of the restoring, the restitution of all things. What is the restoring? What is the restitution of all things? The millennium age. It's the millennium age that will come in when God will restore every hair that's been lost in your head and my head. Amen. God will restore every tooth that you ever lost. God will restore your missing arms and your missing legs. God will restore everything that's become extinct back yonder. Hallelujah. And oh, what a day that shall be, the song says, when my Savior I shall see, when I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. Hallelujah. When I take Him by the hand and He leads me to the promised land. What a day that will be. Hallelujah. What a time, what a day, what an hour, what a glorious moment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and receive the gospel. For when the kingdom of the gospel, or the gospel of the kingdom, or the kingdom of God, when it's been preached in all of the world for a witness, then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. The kingdom is preached. Have you followed me? See, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. You don't see the kingdom of God with your natural eye, folks. Neither shall they say, here, lo, here is the kingdom. Over yonder there is the kingdom. That's why that God's people is in the minority. That's why it's such a little flock. When He said, fear not, little flock. Now I know there's a lot of people, a great multitude that no man can number. I realize that. Of God's people. But when you make a comparison to the many hundreds and thousands and millions of people that's passed on, it's a minority. It's a small group. Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. Is that right? You follow me?
Amen.
All right, now, let's look at it for just a few more minutes. The kingdom of God. If I go to the Baptist, if I go to the Methodist, if I go to the Pentecostal, wherever I go to church, if I go to the Catholic Church, if they teach me natural things, always talk to me about natural things, well, I'm never going to get anywhere.
Amen.
If they talk to me about natural things, I'm just as well off as I'd raise me a herd of cattle out here. I'd be just as well off if it was over here somewhere talking about coon hunting. That's right, doing something natural, making money. What's the difference? It's all going to pass away. But we are spiritual people. We must have spiritual things. And the Bible said we must have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Is that right? Let him that hath an ear hear. That means an understanding ear. An ear that understands spiritual things. That's an ear for the church. If you don't understand spiritual things, you don't have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So then, folks, God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. God is a spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Paul said He is the Spirit of holiness. And I worship and I serve that Spirit of holiness with my spirit. How do I do that? By making my spirit conform to holiness. Is that right? Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, now I'm Baptist, and you offend me. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to do that. Jesus offended many of them. I'm not up here to convert you over to a Pentecostal church. I'm not up here to try to convert you over to something that I like or to unchristianize you. I'm here to preach the Word to you. It doesn't matter if you're in the Baptist church, in the Pentecostal church, if you're in the Catholic Church or the Methodist Church. I said last night, you're still going to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Brother, whether Baptist, Methodist, or whatnot, there's an infilling of the Holy Spirit that you've got to have. You might as well get around to it. Hallelujah. All right, now, if it is a spiritual kingdom, the Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. Is that right? If it is a spiritual kingdom, that means it's something invisible, something you can't see, something that's not tangible. That's right, you can't see it, you know. But now the wind, you don't see the wind, do you? But when it starts shaking the tree, you know it's in the area, is that right? You don't see the wind, but let a tornado whirl around, let the wind come sweeping through. Like a man, I was talking to an atheist one time, and he said, well, he said, I just don't believe there's a God. I said, well, I said, I'd like to convince you. He said, but you can't. Said, where's God at? Said, if there's a God, show him to me. I said, you mean to tell me because you can't see him, you won't accept him? He said, I will not accept him because I can't see him. I said, well, that means you don't accept the wind either. I said, you ever seen the wind? No. I said, but you know it's in the area, don't you? I said, when it starts uprooting trees, knocking houses down and tearing things apart, I said, do you deny there's such a thing as the wind? Oh, it made a difference. Like another fellow I was talking to, he didn't believe there's a God. He said, I said, don't you believe there's a God? I said, don't you believe in the resurrection? I said, there's a real, genuine resurrection. He said, ah. I said, can't nothing get into that tomb when it's sealed up. He said, when they seal that tomb up, said, can't nothing get through there. I said, do you really believe that? He said, can't nothing get to it. Said, it's so tight, water can't even get into it. I said, let me show you something. And we were standing in a trailer talking as a big picture window over here. I said, let me show you. I said, the Bible speaks of God being the great light. I said, you see that light? I said, you see that sealed window that the water can't get through? I said, look at that light on the floor. I said, it came right through the window. And God is the great light. Hallelujah. When God gets ready to come, he'll come right on. The old fellow was shook up when I got through. Hallelujah. God knows what to do. Amen. I don't know what to do, but God knows what to do. All right, now, listen, folks. It's just like tonight. We say, Brother Pike, we are creatures of light. Now, listen. We say we are creatures of light. But now, look at it like this. See, you might have one shade of light here. Is that right? Another shade of light over here. Another dimensional depth of light over here. Is that right? You understand what I'm saying? See my shadow? You can't hardly see it, but it's there. You see that? But even in that shadow, there's some light. Is that right? But out of that shadow, it's a better light. You see that shadow go across my hand? Of them lights up there? You see that? See, that is a light. And if my eyes are adjusted to a certain dimension of light, I can see. Like creatures of darkness, take an owl. An old owl can sit out there in the dark and he can see real good. But you walk around out there, you can't see. You know why? His eyes are adjusted for that dimension of darkness. Where your eyes are adjusted and made and created for another dimension. Is that right? And so it is with God. We live in this world. We say everything's light around us. We see the sunshine come up. We say everything's light. I can see the rivers. I can see the birds. I can see the trees. I can enjoy the presence of things around me. Is that right? But brother, there's a light that's greater than that light. And the Bible said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depth, and the width, and the length of what God's doing. See, there's a light far greater. There's a light far greater. Now, when you say light, Brother Pike, what are you speaking of? Light is understanding. How are you staying with me? Light. It is an understanding. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light. Why did he say that? Because he called the intellectual reasoning that come from the tree of knowledge in the garden, our educational system of day. He said, that's darkness. Carnal mind is enmity to God. He says there's death in that. He said don't lean to your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Is that right? In the Word. Don't try to figure it out. See what the Word of God says about it and trust in the Word. For instance, if you're sick tonight and you try to figure it out, you'll die. Is that right? Because your carnal mind will fear. Your carnal mind will doubt. Your carnal mind will wonder. Your carnal mind will say, you better see a doctor. You better see a doctor. And that's all right. If the doctor can help you, that's all right. But the Bible said God smote Asa in the feet. And he sought the physicians instead of God. And God let him die. So the doctor isn't always the answer, folks. That's right. You know, we cast our little vote for Jimmy Carter or Ford or whoever it might be. And we're so small in our thinking that we actually believe that we're going to elect somebody into office. Come on. Amen. Amen. Come on. I said we are so far out in the darkness of intellectual reasoning till we actually have it in our minds that because we get together, we're going to elect somebody in office.
Praise God.
Oh, my. See, that shows how far away we are. See, the Bible said God puts down one, God raises up another. Is that right? God raises up whomever he will and puts down whom he will. Is that right? When old Nebuchadnezzar began to walk through the place over there and look around and say, look what I've done, the Bible said God took him down. And he lost his mind, his hair growed out like feathers and his fingernails like claws. And the voice said, let seven times pass over him, let him feed with the beast. Until he recognizes, I'm God, and I put up whom I will and take down whom I will. And after 7 years, his mind returned to him. Old Nebuchadnezzar got up and said, hallelujah, glory to God. Said, you do what you want to, whenever you will. God said, that's good enough, put him back on his throne. Hallelujah, come looking for him over and set him back on his throne. You understand what I mean? See, folks, we don't elect in anybody. Like they had Ronald Reagan's running here just recently. They put Ronald Reagan's in the race, had Ford, had a number of the others, and y'all was going good. But God said to me, said, son, the government will come out of Atlanta, Georgia. Come on. He said, the government will move to Atlanta, Georgia. But Atlanta, there wasn't anybody running out of Atlanta. There wasn't anybody for many years that's ever been taken out of the South in the presidency, but God told me it would come out of Atlanta, Georgia. You follow me? Now, God said it will be like that. Now, they had all the rest of them going in the race pretty good. And they thought all they had to do was just elect them in. But all of a sudden, a nobody called Jimmy Carter that didn't seem to mount a hill of beans. All of a sudden, he become the preeminent figure and still is going like a rocket.
Amen.
Where's your votes at? Come on, folks, where's your votes at? Ronald Reagan's had to take the tuck head and drop out. I told the brethren, I said, Ronald Reagan's, I believe Ronald's a great man. That's right. As a matter of fact, Pat Boone, the one he spoke of a while ago, that wrote us about a little glass slipper, commented concerning Ronald. He believes he's a great man. But the thing is, I said, Ronald Reagan's will surrender over to the East. I said, because according to the revelation, the Western perspective is over and it cannot prevail. And the government will come out of Atlanta, Georgia. I said, it'll move from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. And did you know what? They have built the biggest World Congress building in the world. In Atlanta, Georgia, 350,000 square feet under one building, $35 million. Are you listening? And they say, what are you saying, Brother Pike? I mean, how in the world did Atlanta, Georgia, a little old place like that where there was a nothing, all of a sudden become an international city? How did all of a sudden they spend $35 million when the rest of the cities were folding up? There's some here tonight. Remember that I made a statement. I said Atlanta, Georgia will prevail and the other cities will go under and fall prey to it. Is that right? Did it do it? Amen. What is it? It's God. See, God does what God wants to do. It doesn't matter about our votes. We should pray. In the Old Testament, God, when the people done good, God raised them up a good king. Is that right, Brother Cooksey? When the people done evil, God raised them up a bad king. Is that right? God set some kings on the throne, picked up a little boy by the name of Josias, about 8 years old, let him reign for about 31 years. 8 years old. Oh, he didn't even know his ABCs. Of course, probably didn't have him that day. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, look here. Why, what would we do without our modern facilities of education? That's a good question. What would we do? We'd be a whole lot better off. Amen. Men that were out yonder behind the plow, plowing, that know how to say gee and ha, has got better sense and better reasoning than some of the great scholars of today. I know because I've talked with them. Amen. Amen. It's like my brother not too long ago. He's an ignorant sort of fella in the sense of education. He don't have any. But he's been real successful in business and things of the world. And he was talking to a man that was a great intellectual, you know, out of college. He'd come to me and he was all tore up. He calls me brother. He said, I never realized them folks were so ignorant. Think about that, an ignorant fella talking about an educated man being ignorant. So I never realized that. I tried to reason with him, couldn't get nothing across to him. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not mocking that. The Bible said not many mighty are called. There's some that's great men. Some's great men. Here's a man with about 6 years of college over here. He's a great man. He's got a good understanding of spiritual things and natural things. But not many mighty are called. Just few here and there. You follow me? So then you say, what would we do without our modern facilities of today? All right, I'm going to tell you just for a minute. Can I hurry along here? Will you stay with me just a few more minutes? I'm not going to hold you long. Just a few more minutes now. Now, you say, what would we do? All right, that's a good question. What would we do? God said, Moses, I've raised you up for a purpose, son. Hallelujah. 40 years, I'm going to train you down here in Egypt. I'm going to let you be with Pharaoh. I'm going to let you learn all of the ways of society. I'm going to give you a reputation among the dignitaries so that they'll all have respect to you, because one day I'm going to bring you down here and let you stand before Pharaoh. I'm going to train you to where when you come in here, they'll know you're a dignitary and they'll listen to you. Is that right? But after that, he took him, said, now, Moses, for 40 more years, I'm going to put you out here in the wilderness and let you live in the wilderness to wander here and there, to find out where the pitfalls are, to find out where all the bad places is, to understand this wilderness, to map it out in your mind, because I'm going to bring hundreds and thousands of people out of Egypt, and I want you to know where to lead them, the way you won't lead them into a bunch of slime pits. Is that right? So it kept him 40 more years. Amen. Hallelujah. Now you're talking about education. These people that get 3 and 4 years of college, they get 6 or 7 years of college, they say, I'm ready to be a doctor. God give that old boy 80 years of learning. 80 long years. You follow me? And when he was 80 years old, too old to get around, God said, now I'm going to make a Superman out of you and make a great deliverer out of you. You follow me? How do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. When he was too old to do anything, God chooses the foolish and the abased things of the world to confound the wise. Hallelujah. A little boy, 8 years old, he becomes the greatest leader in the world. A man, 80 years old, he becomes the greatest leader in the world. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. We got it all figured out, ain't we? Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, now what would we do if we didn't have these industries around to where our ladies could go there and work while we farm and make a potato? Come on. Hallelujah. Bible said my people are greedy dogs that don't never get enough. They have to put the wife to work and the children to work and everybody else to work. And if you say anything about it, they'll leave you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I get along without mine working. Amen. Hallelujah. God takes care of us. He's been doing it for years. That's odd. If a mother wants to go out there and work, you know, for her children, she can't get no bread. She ain't got the faith to believe God is sign. But when there's a man in the house, he needs to get out on the job. You follow me? So then what would we do? All right, what did Moses do? God said, Moses, take these hundreds of thousands of people. Take them out here in the middle of a wilderness. Say, what do you want me to do with them? Moses could say, now wait a minute, God, there ain't no factors out there. We don't have any high schools. We don't have any colleges. Lord, we're going to be a bunch of ignorant people. God, we don't have any industries out there. No mules, no cows, no nothing. Come on, folks. Amen. What in the world are we going to do? He said, believe God. Believe God. Believe God, that's what you need to do. Not put the wife to work on a job, but believe God. Hallelujah. What he wants to do, believe God. Go out in the wilderness, believe God. Get out there, but Lord, how are we going to educate the people? I'll take care of that. Amen. Amen. Somebody said that when we get over in Canaan, said, what about all them people over there? They're going to know that we're a bunch of ignorant folks. He said, your wisdom among them is going to be this, that you fear God, and they're going to fear you. Amen. So they'll fear you, and they'll be afraid of you because you're called by my name. Is that right? You said, Brother, now you say, Brother Pike, that won't never be in our day, but it will be. I want to tell you something tonight, folks. It's time that the saints of God begin to rise up and take the kingdom of God. The Bible said Satan would wear them out, Mike, but someday we would rise and take the kingdom of God and possess it forever and forever and forever. It's time we begin to wake up, folks. We're sons and daughters of God. They don't own this world. That's right. I sat in on Congress not too long ago, and I sat there and I watched them fellas, and they made more fuss over a cold turkey than anything else. And I sat there and I thought, that's the Senate. That's the Congress. And here they sit making fun, standing around making mockery. And they decide my destination and the destination of my children. I don't want folks like that deciding my destination. Hallelujah. I don't want a bunch of politicians that's fighting and robbing and stealing and killing and lying and cursing to decide my future. Hallelujah. I want God to decide it. Amen. It's time the saints of God rose up and realized that we're sons and daughters of God, and this world belongs to us. And them people are a bunch of squatters that got to get off the land. Hallelujah. We need to run a good abstract on our land and go back and get our inheritance and get our double barrel loaded and get the squatters off of it. Amen. It's ours. Hallelujah. I wish we had about 2 more hours to preach. Close the Bible and it'll encourage you. You know I'm going to quit. All right, now, let me say just a few more words. I will let you go. There's so many things I'd like to say, and I can't say it all. Half has never yet been told. But just let me say just a few words, all right? All right, now, seriously, folks, what did Moses do? See, look, when he got hungry and the people got hungry, what took place? They said, Lord, we don't have any meat out here. We don't know what we're going to do with our little ones. And the people was about to stone Moses. They didn't have any water. Neither did they have any water. They didn't have any meat. And God said, just wait a minute, Moses. Over here, he stirred up a covey of quails. And there were so many birds that came in there until it was stacked up like cordwood. They had to wade through it to get to them. That's right. So many, for so many hundreds of yards and acres all around God. See? God could have given them a deep freeze, couldn't he? Couldn't he? Somebody said, I got to raise the garden this year because the snow might hit. Well, I saw what you might have to do like me and Leon done. You see what it done to us? Hallelujah. It'll give you good experience. Amen. So then, what I'm saying is that God could have given them a deep freeze, but God wanted to teach them faith, folks. That's why God doesn't give the little people his people. The Bible said salvation is sent unto the poor. God doesn't give them a whole barrel full of this and for that and something else. God wants to teach them faith. Amen. He don't want their faith over here in a dead chicken. That's right, in a barrel of turnip greens. God wants your faith in him, folks. There might come a drought in the land. What would that little old bitty freezer that you got over there, how much good would that thing do you? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if I just put up food and put up food and put up food, you know what would happen? Somebody would come along and kill you. When they got hungry enough, they'd come along and kill you and your family, and they'd get what they wanted to get. That's right. Amen. You believe that's true? Oh, I could tell you a lot of things about the leper and few of them tonight and prove that, but I know that you're getting tired. But God wants your faith in him. He said, Moses, I want you to put your faith in me. I'm trying to teach these people faith. Why does God want to teach us faith? Why not just give us what we need to eat and quit worrying about it? But God wants to teach us faith. Why? Because there's going to come a day when turnip greens isn't going to do. There's going to come a day when killing a chicken or a cow and putting it in the deep freeze ain't going to do. Folks, we are headed for a spiritual world. We may deny that there is a spiritual world. And we may turn every way but the right way to find out what's going on. But I want to tell you something tonight. And I want you to understand there is a spiritual world. And devils and demons are inhabiting bodies. And the insane asylums are filling up. And the hospitals are filling up. And wrecks on the highway is everywhere. And the prisons are filling up. And they don't have any answer anymore. Do you follow me? So then, God wants to teach us faith. So he let Moses
Lead them day by day. And teach them to pray, Father, give us our daily bread. Is that right? Amen. Father, give us our daily bread. He wants you to have faith because it's by grace. By the grace of God, the shed blood at Calvary, through faith, that you're going to receive a spiritual inheritance. Now listen to this. The kingdom of God cometh how? How does it come? By how? The hearing of the word.
Praise God.
I hear these people wrestle with, you know, say it was appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And like a great Bible scholar made a statement, he called him the walking Bible. He said, oh, Enoch will come back and die. Enoch will never come back and die. Don't you ever console yourself with the idea that Enoch's going to come back and die. The Bible said he was translated by faith that he should not see death. If he comes back and dies, that breaks the scripture, and we're all lost.
Amen.
See, Enoch was not under the law, not under the transgression and penalty of sin, so he doesn't have to come back and die. I like that, don't you?
Amen.
I like that. You say, why? Because there's some other folks today that's not under the transgression of the law. Amen.
God.
Elijah and Abraham, some of them will have to come, you know. Amen. Elijah was caught away in a fire chariot. He'll have to come back and taste death.
Amen.
You know why? He was under the law. He was under the law. But we're not under the law.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
There's some of you here that are Pentecostal people that will not make the rapture. I know you won't, because I catch your spirit. You won't make it. But there's some of you here that's not Pentecostal that you're going to make it, because you're going to get in and go with God, and some of them that's in is going to get out because they got their mind on the world and the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. That's right. You're not fooling God tonight, folks. You're only fooling yourself. Hallelujah. I better stop now, or I'll be preaching, sure enough. I feel like preaching now. When Pentecostals backslide in your service while you're preaching, it's time to start preaching then.
Yeah, praise God. Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I've had a few to go to sleep on me, but they're in the casket. That's right. Man went to sleep on me one night. I told him, don't do that. They buried him. That's right. You don't go to sleep on this message. One fell asleep on Paul. That's right. He died. Paul had to go resurrect him, get started all over again. He didn't go to sleep a second time. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I just want to show you're not so smart and I'm not too interested. All you're doing is giving a display of your ignorance, because I'm not trying to show my smartness.
Amen.
That proves that you don't have any discernment of God. I want you to stand together with me before I do start preaching now. This is the only thing that always bothers me, is I don't have time to preach a sermon. I used to 2 years ago when I first started preaching, I couldn't find enough to say. Now I can't find enough time to say it in. But it is a true fact that we don't ever have time really to preach a real sermon. We just preach a little bit, tell you a few things, and when we get right in the very place to where the message is really fixing to come forth, we have to quit. Because our people have been taught to come and sit for, if they sit for an hour, they think they've done extra, extra well. Isn't that right? Sure. And I'll tell you what, if you get a Pentecostal to sit for that long, you got a Christian. Because they sure ain't going to sit there. And you might get a Baptist to stay, but you ain't going to get a Pentecostal. That's right. See, the Baptists, a lot of times they feel like, well, maybe them folks have got something, and maybe I ought to listen. Pentecostal says, I got it. I ain't got to pay attention to that. Come on, folks. That's the way it is. Pentecostal people are the hardest people in the world to preach to. I preached to all of them. The other morning, Sunday morning, was it? Sunday morning I preached 3 hours. Was it Sunday morning I preached 3 hours? I preached 3 hours. I had no idea I preached 3 hours. I didn't plan to preach over 30 or 40 minutes, but I preached 3 hours. And I apologized to some of them. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. They said, well, it didn't seem like that to me. That's right. Some of them were still wanting us to go on. But you know what it is? They get in the mind of revelation. They get in the Spirit of God and they know that something's happening. But the average person today, even among the Pentecostal ranks, they don't even know what you're talking about. They never even get in the Spirit with you the whole time that you're preaching. I'm telling you the truth. Brother Cooksey, you preach to Pentecostal people. Is that right? They're the hardest people in the world to preach to. The Jews was the apple of God's eye. But he said they was the most stubborn, rebellious people in the earth.
You can preach to most anybody except Pentecostals, and they've got it in their mind that they got the Holy Ghost and they're all right, and you can't tell them nothing.
Amen.
And they don't know that they're naked, wretched, and blind, and on their way to hell. Pentecostal people are naked, wretched, blind, and on their way to hell. Being Pentecost don't mean nothing. That's just a Jewish festival. God just chose that when he brought the Holy Ghost, because that was the day of Jubilee for the Jews. That's all that was.
Amen.
That don't mean nothing. But being a Christian means something. Now, if you're a Christian tonight, you're something. They call them Christians down at Antioch. If you're a Christian tonight, that means you got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's something, folks. Old time holiness. Somebody said, I'm UPC, I'm Church of God, I'm Assembly of God, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist. That don't mean nothing. Jesus said, a name you live, but you're dead. That don't mean nothing. But if you are a Christian tonight, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, that's everything.
Hallelujah.
That's everything. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. As far as I know, we'll be out here tomorrow night. That'll probably be the last night that we'll get to be here. But let's sing a little chorus together. And while we're singing, let's humble our hearts, folks. God gives more grace to the humble. More grace to the humble. God gives more grace to the humble. By grace through faith you're saved. Not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. Is that right? You say, what do I have to do? Peter said, repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you, to your children, to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Everyone is the same. No difference. God's got one plan to salvation. It's for you and for me. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Got to.
Amen.
All right, without His Spirit, you're none of His. Is that right? If you got His Spirit, it will guide you into all the truths. I preached last night a controversy with the people. Said I got a controversy with the people because there's no truth in the land. No mercy in the land. Is that right?
That's right.
I got a controversy with you. That's what Jesus said. So tonight, while we sing a little chorus together, I want to say again, it's good to be here. It's a real privilege for me to be here. Preach to you people. And I'd like to really preach, you know. But I don't want to wear you out. I don't want you to, you know, get tired, worn out. So I try to consider you. Some of you have to work. Some of you have to get up early. How you people say, well, I don't care. But I do. You're God's people. I love you and I care. I'm concerned about your health. I'm concerned about you as an individual. You're a great people. Solomon said, who can speak to so great a people? See, you're God's people, created by Him and for His own pleasure. And who am I? Nothing but a worm in the earth to get up before you and speak to you. But I love you and I appreciate you tonight. But I've got to tell you the truth. The truth shall make you free. That's the only way we can save this frame, John, is to tell a person the truth. Otherwise, it'll be folded up, laid away, to be brought forth in the last day to be cast into the lake of fire. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The Bible said, when ye yourselves see your own self turned away and others coming from the east and the west into the kingdom of God. It's going to be a sad time. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. I want to take just a minute before I close out tonight, Brother Leon. I promised last night that if it's anybody sick, I'd pray for them tonight. I want to take a minute. You know, when I was in the state of Nebraska, preaching and pastoring a little church, sometimes Betty and I used to ride 100 miles to prayer meeting. Glad to go. Thrilled us to drive 100 miles just to be in prayer meeting. All right. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Sing it with me. Every day I need Thee. I need Thee now, my Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. Sing it this way now. Oh, I want Thee. Oh, I want Thee. Every day I want Thee.
sweet Jesus. Oh, how I want thee. Sing it like this now. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to the Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn Jesus away. You love him tonight? You love him? I want you to bow your heads just before we pray for the sick. I want you to bow your heads tonight. And if you're here, lost and undone without God, I want you to step up here a few minutes and let us pray with you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For it shall come to pass, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tonight we have a great opportunity to go out into the highways and into the hedges to compel them to come into the house of God. All you've got to do tonight is believe. Just believe, and God's Spirit will come into your heart. And then God will guide you into His truths and into His righteousness, into His preparations for your soul, into the conformity of His image, and into the greatness of His salvation. Tonight, as we sing a little chorus, I want you to bow your heads with me. And I want you to think for just a minute. And if you feel the need for God, you might be bound with evil spirits. You might be troubled in mind. You might be troubled in your heart. You might be looking for a minister in Christ, an outlet, whatever. I want you to step up here with us tonight as we sing this little chorus, can we? Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Can you sing with me? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fare, oh, just remember in God's word how He fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Go leave it there. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Hallelujah. Tonight, is everything all right in your heart tonight? You know, folks, I love you because you're like children to me tonight. When we closed, just before we closed or left the meeting in Olive Branch, we gave an altar call. It was filled up. Before we left Columbus, Georgia, we gave an altar call. It was filled up.
People praising God, crying, seeking the Lord, wanting something from Jesus. Tonight, I know that you are here and lost and undone without God. That is true. Not only that, but we've got some Pentecostal people here that's backslid tonight. You're backslid. I've already checked your spirit. You're backslid. You might be going to church regular. You may be paying your tithes. You may do all those things, but you're backslid on God. You might as well to face it. You're going to miss it. Unless God does something in your life, you're going to miss it. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel God here tonight. There ain't but one thing to do. That's come front and center. Make a confession before God and clear the books. I preached this sermon one night called Clearing the Books. You need a lot of book clearing. Hallelujah. I'm going to sing just a little more of this chorus. And I want you to step out. If you want something from God, I want you to step out tonight. I'm not going to try to weary you, bother you, or make you come. I closed the service last night. I didn't even give an altar call. But I felt to do it tonight. So I'm going to sing this little chorus. Let's sing it again. Oh, leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Hallelujah. All right. If you're satisfied with your life, then I'm satisfied with it. And I trust that God is satisfied with it. You say, Brother Pike, I don't have to step out to be a Christian or to make a confession. That is true. You don't. It could be in your back bedroom. It's a matter of believing in your heart. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. When conviction gets you right, it'll do you like it did me one night in a little Baptist church. When it seized my heart, I went down to the altar and bawled like a little baby. That's right. When it gets you right, when real faith takes hold, you don't mind stepping out. You don't mind stepping up to the altar and saying, I'm for Jesus. That's true. All right, we're going to take a few more minutes here as we sing a chorus or two. Give you a chance to be prayed for if you're sick in your body tonight. You want to be prayed for? I said last night we'd pray for you. As far as I know, we'll be gone tomorrow night. There'll be men here that can still pray for you, men that can pray the prayer of faith. But if you want me to pray for you tonight, I'll be glad to pray for you. I said last night I would. As far as I know, unless God changes my mind, I'll probably pray for you tomorrow night. I'm going to ask you to do something, folks. Take a few minutes in this revival. Don't be in a hurry to leave the house of God. You take 15 minutes away from God, and God may take 15 years off of your life. You do like Hezekiah, and you give him 15 minutes. He may send a prophet and pray the prayer of faith for you and add 15 more years unto your life. A lot of people are in the coffin tonight because they couldn't stay long enough to hear a sermon. A lot of people are in bad condition in their body and sick because they're backslid on God and still professing Christianity, still going on to church. The worst thing in the world you could do is to go to church and profess Christianity if you're not going to live right. That's the worst thing in the world to do. I made this statement, and I want to refer to it tonight. The worst thing that could ever happen to the world or to mankind is for them to become religious. The paper stated a few days ago, said it's never been a time like this. Said the presidents who refused in years gone by to mention religion or their religious affiliation has all of a sudden declared and proclaimed publicly that they are Christians or they are believers or they are Baptists or they are Methodists, that they believe in their religion.
Never before would they do it. And I made the statement, I said, someday it will be like that. I said that years ago. And I said, when it gets like that, God will rain the fire and brimstone down. Because it's the worst condition you could ever get into. As long as you're cold and don't know nothing about God, God will strive. He will send preachers. He will bear with you. When you get to the knowledge of God and you serve God, God will bless you and make you a great people. But when you come to the knowledge of God and you don't serve God and you don't conform to God, then you are considered lukewarm, and He will spew you out of His mouth by sending every plague and every disease and wrecks and tornadoes and heartaches and woes and problems among the children and everybody else. And that's where the world is today. It's the worst age that you've ever come to. God can't do anything for you. You're not cold, so He can't preach to you. You're not hot, so He can't bless you. You're religious, lukewarm, the Laodicean age. I'm rich, have need of nothing. Know ye not that you're wretched? I'm talking to Baptist, Pentecostal, and all of you. He said, know ye not that you are wretched and blind and naked? So I counsel of you to buy of me raiment tried in the fire. You know what that raiment is? That's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It went down through the flames of hell. We are made His righteousness. Made His righteousness. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But put ye on that raiment that went through the fire down there. The Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the garment. You follow me, folks? It's a religious age. Everybody belongs to something. That means God can't deal with them anymore. Because every man's turned to his own way. He's got his own thing. So why let the world go on? Why should God let it go on? Why should He work with people anymore? It's all over. It's finished. Everybody's chose what they want. You see what I'm saying? It's the truth. I tell you the truth and lie not, and my conscience bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. Paul said it is the truth. You're at the end of the road. It's the end of the trail. Everybody's decided what they believe it ought to be and how it ought to be. And they've gotten into that kind of condition. And the preacher doesn't mean anything to them anymore. But see, self-righteous rags won't do. It won't do. It's going to take His Spirit. If you got His Spirit, it'll make you do right, talk right, live right, think right. Sweet charity will flood your soul. And if you don't have the charity of God, you ain't got nothing. That's right. I want to help you. The day or two that I'm here, I want you to bear with me. Give me a little time. The day or two that I'm here, that I might be able to say something, work with you, and help you, because it might be the last opportunity that you ever get. That's true. You know, we're at the midnight hour, folks. We are at the midnight hour. Now, I say this, some of you are going to, you're just about going to have a fit after you get off and think it over. But it's true. You listen real close to me. The white man is losing the government. The black man will take the government. Oh, it'll never be. Oh, it'll never be. Oh, but it will be. It will be. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, that'll never be. But it will be. I've already heard from heaven. It will be. The white man is going through the mill. God is going to let communistic power tear your country to pieces. They're not going to take over. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe they'll ever take over. I don't either. They've already took over. You just don't know about it. They've already took over. They take the little children and they take the bamboo and run it in one ear and out the other and watch him bleed. They take something and crush the little children's head. Crush it while you stand and look at it. Oh, I could tell you some things tonight I happen to know for a fact. Things is in bad shape. The Russian Jew, I never will forget, that stood and testified to the people and the tears run down his cheeks. That made the statement. He said, people, communists someday is going to get you. And he told how his dad was the richest man, one of the richest in Russia. But said communists took over overnight. While people were afraid that they might come and take over, he said they had already took over and was in the country and owned and controlled everything. And all of a sudden the radios bladed out, communists is now in control. And by that night, he said 6 million people was dead.
And he told how horrible it was. What they did to the little children, said they cut their heads off and brought platters full. Took them out of the mother's arms, begging. He said, Brother Pike, I saw him march him up on a ramp and hot ball and all, and put a picture of the great leader over here of Russia and a picture of Jesus over here, and march him up on the ramp and tell them that if they didn't deny Christ, they went into the hot boiling oil. And he said, Brother Pike, this is the truth. He said, I saw them march thousands of people one after another. And said, every one of them would look at the picture of the Russian leader, turn and look at the picture of Jesus Christ, and start singing, I believe Jesus saves and his blood washes white as the snow. And said, not a one of them failed. They went off into the pot, and the meat was taken off of the bones. Folks, it's already on you. It's already on you. Now, the black man is going to get the government. God's going to put him in office. You can't stop him. Like Jimmy Carter, the paper stated that never a man ever pleaded for the black support like Jimmy Carter did. I had made the statement. I said, a white man will come up, take the black man and lead him in, and he'll take over the government in Atlanta, Georgia. That's right. A lot of things we could say tonight. If you had the ears to hear and the time to stay here, I could tell you things tonight you could write a book about the government and the different things that's happening that I've already seen. But I know that I just have my time limited. Just 2 or 3 days, and I know that you're going to limit me, some of you, because you're not used to staying. And you get weary, and I can't even keep your minds. You'll be gone just a little bit. So I just have to say a few things to help your soul and let it go. Some of you will never know what happened until the dart has struck through the liver. But listen, the midnight hour is here. Now I want you to hear this. The midnight hour is here. Now listen, folks. Somebody said, bless God, I'm Baptist, Brother Pike. That's all right. If that's what you want to be, that's your business. Somebody said, well, bless God, I'm Pentecostal. That's all right. That's your business. Some said, well, I'm Catholic. But I want you to hear me tonight. The Bible said at the midnight cry, the Baptist was asleep. Come on, folks. I said it said at the midnight cry, the Catholics were asleep. It said at the midnight cry, the UPC was asleep. The Pentecostals was asleep. At the midnight cry, all of them was asleep. All of the virgins. The Bible said the wise virgins was asleep and the foolish virgins was asleep. There wasn't any of them awake. All of them had got so much like the world you couldn't tell one from another. They dress like the world. They look like the world. They act like the world. They do the things of the world. All of them was asleep. Wasn't nobody awake except the watchmen on the wall. I'm glad God's got a few watchmen on the wall tonight. That was the only ones. And at the midnight cry, he said, you Pentecostal people, you're backslid. He said, you Baptist people, you're backslid. Like a man told me today, talking to me today, he said, what's happening in this area? He said, man, I used to be here years ago. And said, the Baptist people get over here and they shout and praise God. So I've seen them shout. So I went by there a few days ago and said, what's happening in this place? They're backslid. The Methodist people believed in sanctification when old Brother John Wesley was here. But they're backslid. Come on, folks. They all were asleep. But then the cry came, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise up, trim your wicks, check your oil, go out to meet him. The midnight cry is here. After I leave this meeting, you're going to know that. After I leave this area, you're going to know that. I've watched in the last little bit, and every area that we went in, God is leaving a path of destruction. Everywhere. Now remember this. People have preached before, and they went out of the area, and that's all it was to it. See, it didn't mean a whole lot because of a lot of grace. But where there's a lot of knowledge, a lot required. We know a lot, folks. And this message brings a lot of understanding. And the Bible said concerning this, that when they leave behind them, it shall be as a barren wilderness. Before them, it shall be as the Garden of Eden. But behind them, it shall be as a barren wilderness. God will destroy. God will tear down. God will send plagues. God will do all of those things. Why? Because we reject God. Because we reject God. So, Brother Pike's not here.
to unchristianize, as I said last night, nor to preach the wrath of God on you, but to preach flee the wrath of God to come. I'm here to tell you to flee it because it's coming. When there's knowledge, there's wrath. And there's knowledge in the land tonight. And all of the people are asleep. Only a few watchmen on the wall. Just a few. Just a few. And I'll be honest with you. I believe I got some minister friends here tonight that'll tell you that many of the watchmen that are supposed to be on the wall, they are asleep. They've gone to sleep. Money and prestige and fame and popularity has put them to sleep. All right. We're going to sing another little chorus. I know I'm holding you a little bit long tonight, but I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. Sing one more little chorus. And if you're sick in your body, you want prayer tonight, I'll take time to pray for you. If you're not, Brother Pike's not going to weary you. I want you to be happy and satisfied. I want to give you the opportunity that when I'm gone, that you can't say, I did not give you the opportunity. But I'm not going to press you. I'm not going to weary you. Whatever you want to do, that's your pleasure. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. This song is an old song Brother Taylor sang last night. Most everybody knows it. And I think it fits us all better than any other I know of. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but Lord, now I see. Okay, let's sing it together, can we? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. It was the hour I first believed. Now sing like this. Praise God. 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 Oh, praise God. 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 Isn't it wonderful to praise God? Can't you lift your hands and praise God? The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise God. You say, I'm not a Christian, Brother Pike. That doesn't make any difference. You're breathing God's breath. And God said, let everything that hath breath praise God. Little folks, big folks, old folks, young folks, poor folks, rich folks, sick folks, well folks, Christian folks, sinner folks. I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting, that everything that hath breath, let it praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for Sister Lane tonight. She must have a need or deficiency in the body. And I'm going to pray for tonight, and I want you to pray with us. And I trust that if there's something wrong tonight, that God will heal it. I believe that He will. And if you'll believe tonight, God will do something for you. Folks, don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. He's like a friend of mine. I talked to him not too long ago. He was chawing on tobacco.
said he loved the Lord. Knowed he wasn't right to chew tobacco. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't believe that's wrong. It's not like Jesus is. Couldn't you picture Jesus chewing tobacco? No, that's not Christ-like. Christian means Christ-like. Kept chewing on it. Not too old a person. Kept chewing away. And I told him, I said, you don't need to do those things. Ah, that little thing don't make a difference, you know. But what he had in mind was, he was a real nice fella. He loved the Lord to some extent. But he just thought he'd lay it down after a while, you know. But all of a sudden, while sitting at home, a heart attack hit him. And they told me, he said, the first thing he tried to do, he had a big chew tobacco. And said he struggled and struggled to get that chew tobacco out of his mouth. But it hit him. And he went down. He died. Don't wait too long. It's so easy, see. Just one heartbeat between you and eternity. That's all you are. Oh, I wish I could tell you some things in the Spirit tonight that would stir your soul. If you only understood what you are and who you are and how you put together tonight. But I tell you this much. Just one little heartbeat between you and God tonight. That's all, folks. If it happens to stop, that's it. That's it. You're in eternity. That's it. Don't be high-minded but fear. Don't wait too late. Let that old heart call on Jesus before it's too late. Let faith get in there before it's too late. A lot of young people going up and down the road, we warn them every now and then. They go out to meet God like that. Car wrecks, things happening, they go out to meet God. While we pray for Sister Lane, Father of Heaven, in Jesus' name tonight, I'm thankful for your great Spirit. Hallelujah. As I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. And I feel a faith tonight, Jesus. God, she's bleeding tonight because I feel it. Hallelujah. I feel the virtue that came from the body of Jesus. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus tonight. God, I speak healing to this body. Father, heal it in Jesus' name tonight for your glory. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the virtue of Christ here tonight. Hallelujah. I feel faith, the same faith that Jesus felt as he walked along the shores of Galilee. Hallelujah. Just a few weeks ago, we was walking along the shores of Galilee over in Palestine, the same place where Jesus was, on a little boat crossing the Sea of Galilee, preaching the gospel to the people on the little boat just a few weeks ago. Hallelujah. And here we are tonight over in Mississippi. The same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee there. Tonight he's resurrected from the dead. He's alive here tonight, living in your heart and in your life tonight. So I pray for Sister Frieda. This lady's a school teacher. She left Louisiana. She's come to Little Bethlehem there to be a part of the ministry. She gave up school teaching and came there for the sake of her soul. And she's come all the way over here to Mississippi tonight to be in this meeting. We've got several school teachers there that's given up public school, public teaching to be part of the following of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number of people out of college, leaders and businessmen. And then we've got some plain old country folks that just love Jesus. But she's here to be prayed for tonight. Let's pray for her. Father, tonight as I pray for Sister Frieda, I feel the wonderful presence of God tonight. Hallelujah. And I feel the breaking of the yoke. In the name of Jesus tonight, Father, break every yoke. Heal this body. Raise this faith up tonight. In a great way, Jesus. Let thy Spirit be in the audience tonight. Hallelujah. I feel the virtues of Jesus Christ. Heal in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah tonight? Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus, Have Faith in God, can we? Oh, have faith in God. Let's have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith. I'm glad to be out here under this little tent tonight. It really thrills my heart. For so long we've been going into the churches, some of the big churches in different places. We used to get out into a lot of little country places, and out like this, you know. Here we're way out in the cow pasture. That's something, isn't it? Jesus born in a manger. Hallelujah. There's no place for him in the inn, John. So he went out in a manger. You know why God does that? Because the Lord God of heaven doesn't want to be indebted to anybody in that day. See, if you set over in the places, you know, in the finer places, then the people in that day can say, well, Lord, we let you into our city. But God just goes out and takes the pastor somewhere. And then in that day when we all stand before God, God can say, I come to your city. You didn't even let me into your city. I took the cow pasture. I'm not indebted to you at all. You see what I mean, folks? He's a great God, a wise God. Hallelujah. A rich God that paves his streets with gold and hangs his gates out of pearls. Hallelujah. Sets on the throne the Prince of the kings of the earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But he humbles his heart to come down here and be with us. Sing that chorus again, and we're going to close, unless there's somebody else that wants to be prayed for tonight. Oh, have faith in God. Just have faith in God. Let's have faith in God for salvation. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Father, as we pray for the little baby tonight, I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch this little lad tonight. Hallelujah. As I feel your presence, Jesus, heal tonight. Watch over it. Make it strong. Lord, it's dedicated to thee. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Have
faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. You see this young man here tonight? A few months ago, this young man was down in Augusta, Georgia, right near the Carolina line. He had money in the bank, a beautiful Mark IV Lincoln, had his own beauty shop, a good business, and living like a young prince. Hair nice and long, where the ladies would like it. And God spoke to him, got a hold of his heart, turned him around. He sold out, left out, give up, turned around, and said, from now on, my life belongs to God. He's standing here tonight. Folks, what are some of us going to do in the day of judgment? What are we going to do? The Bible said, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over. How much you got left over tonight? So why is it like that, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said he that gathered little had no lack. There's some people, John, over in Africa, they're gathering little tonight. They can't even plant a crop. They can't even feed their little old bony babies. Starving to death in mother's arms. Like one over in Jamaica told Brother Henry Green. Said, Brother Green, I wish you'd have got here a few days earlier. Henry went over to Jamaica and gave this lady a little money. Henry said, why do you wish I'd have got here a little early? Said, because, Brother Henry, a few days ago, my little baby starved to death. We didn't have anything to feed it. And said, if you'd have got here a few days early, its little life could have been spared and we'd have had it today. How much you got left over tonight? Like a preacher said not too long ago, an outstanding Pentecostal preacher, a big preacher, made the statement, said, every preacher ought to have at least $10,000. Laid back, you know. Whereas he got a nice Cadillac, he's got a nice motorhome, he's got a beautiful church, and that's fine. God gave it to him. But folks, preachers don't need $10,000 laid back in the bank. Preachers need to feed the hungry and give to the poor. Preachers don't need nothing laid back in the bank. And we set up our work. I set it up as a non-profit work to where they could not lay anything back in the bank. That's what's wrong with the Baptist church. They don't need anything laid back in the bank. That's right. Somebody said, but what are we going to do about paying the bills? If God isn't big enough to pay the bills, close the church up. You don't need the church. If God ain't in it enough to pay the bills, he's not in it enough to keep the doors open. That's where the problem is today. You follow me? The Baptist church don't need anything laid up. You don't need anything laid up in the bank or anywhere else. I said last night, a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I've got it laid up for a rainy day. And I made the statement last night, you can be sure God will give you a rainy day. Somebody said, what am I going to do, Brother Pike, if I have to go to the hospital? Most likely, if you'll trust God, you won't have to go to the hospital.
Amen.
But if you lay up money for the hospital, God will see that you use it for the hospital. Anytime America sits here and lets little babies starve to death and people starve to death while we overeat and don't share, you can be sure God someday is going to let them blow us off the map. You can be sure of that. You see our little fellas sitting around here tonight, fat, healthy, that's wonderful. But their little fellas are starving to death. Now God doesn't want our little fellas starving. He said not that ye should be in need, or not that ye should be in want while others are prospering. Not that, not that ye should go lacking, but rather that your abundance should supply the lack of others. And he tells us to labor that we might have to give. Why have you got cancer tonight? Why have you got TB tonight? Why are you sick tonight? Why are the hospitals sick tonight, or filled with sick folks tonight? Why are the insane asylums filling up? Why is the children turning into a bunch of rock and rolls, beatniks and hippies? Why is the world gone to corruption? He said, feed the hungry and the poor. Take the naked into your house and clothe them. Then shall thy health return unto thee speedily. Then shall the light of God go before thee, and he shall be thy reward. You understand, folks? I want to pray for this brother tonight. If you've got something Brother Pike's not asking you for, I know there's a lot of ministers scare you half to death and take everything they can get and leave with it. Brother Pike didn't come here to give a dime, get a dime from you. That's the truth. When I leave here, as far as I know, I won't take one dime of your money. Not one dime. I love you. I love you for wanting to give to me, but I won't be taking one dime as far as I know, because I didn't come here for that purpose. I come here to preach the gospel to you, to tell you about Jesus. But I'll tell you one thing. The Bible said when you give of that which you have, then all things are clean unto you. That when you return unto God in your tithes and offerings, God will return unto you. That's right. That represents your strength. And he said to love him with all of your strength. If you've got something tonight, you better find somewhere, somebody in some way to help the poor and to get it out and to do something about it. Because when you lay down in the casket, that's the end of it. Now, I'm going to tell you this, folks, just for a close. I'm going to tell you this. Don't you let this silly bunch of preachers that runs around telling you that all you got to do is make your will out to God. That's a silly preacher that'll do that. They'll tell you and publish these articles, all you ought to do is make your will out to God when you die. You ain't getting nothing out of that. If you remember that, you make your will out to God, you'll still go to hell. God wants you to do something with it while you're here. After you're dead and gone, it ain't got nothing to do with you anyway. It don't make no difference where you make it out to a will or whatever. When you're dead and gone, you're dead. It's in somebody else's hands then anyway. Somebody said, but if I made it out a certain way, it'll go that way. No, it won't. I said last night, this young man here, they had it made out a certain way. It didn't go that way. His dad just passed away. The lawyers did it like they wanted to. Today, they do what they want to. Used to, you could say the law says such and such, and we'll have to do it. But today, they do what they want to. So then, you do something now while you're breathing. That's what God's going to reward you for. It's while you're breathing. If you can do something now, if there's a sick person, go over and visit them and help them. If there's a poor person, go over and help them. Do something now. Hallelujah. Father, tonight as I pray for Michael, I'm thankful tonight because Michael has done exactly what I'm saying. Father, he has tried his best to give. And his testimony has gone around the different parts of the world already. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Heal this body, Father. Lord, if there be sickness in it, strengthen this body tonight.
Oh God, as I feel faith and as I feel the Holy Ghost tonight, in the wonderful name of Jesus.
Oh,
hallelujah. 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 All right. Sing a little more of this chorus and we're going to let you go. I took my time tonight. I usually close out and go right up under the tent. But I took my time tonight, probably will tomorrow night, to give you a chance for a benefit tonight. The believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Somebody said, well, we do it and it don't work. But we do it and it does work.
Man.
See, there's a difference is, are you a believer? Said the believers. Somebody said, well, I go to church. I'm a church member. I feel like I'm a Christian, but that wasn't what it said. It said the believers. You understand what I'm saying? So let's sing this chorus a little more. Have faith in God, can we? Oh, have faith in God. Sing it with me. Oh, have faith in God. Let's have faith in God for salvation. Have faith in